On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
And welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Saber Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. All right, we got a little bit of a special episode today ahead of the college football season. I got a special guest coming on. He's a UVA alum. He's a Super Bowl champion. You all know him. It's Rodney McLeod. We got a special announcement. But Rodney, first of all, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing amazing. I cannot complain. I'm here in beautiful Costa Rica with my wife, my daughter, and other family members, so all is well.
I was gonna say retirement looks like it's suiting you well so far.
Yeah, I'm living in bliss right now, so just thankful for the time, you know, because for the past 13 years, you know, this time period doesn't exist. You know, I would be somewhere, you know, preparing for, I'm sure, practice, you know, putting my body with some electrolytes and get ready to get to it. And now I'm here chasing my daughter around. So completely different time of the year for me right now.
Yeah, I know. I think you just went. Did you just go to Eagles training camp just to check in there? And I mean, Yeah. You're like, all right, guys, I'll see you later. You'll enjoy the rest of that.
Yeah, it's it kind of was a little strange being on the other side of it. Actually for a training camp practice, you know, not in any sort of team apparel, but just there as a fan, supporter of the organization. And it's always, you know, good going back to the Eagles. A lot of people there in a building that I had a chance to, you know, touch. And it was just a sight to see. It was a good time, though. It was a good time.
That's great. Well, the reason you're here is got some news to drop today. You are joining ESPN/ACC Network this fall to call games. You're going to be partnering with George Sedano, call weekly afternoon games on ACC Network. So got another Cavalier on the broadcast now. First, how did you kind of decide this was the next step that you're going to walk us through the process, you know, from retiring, you know, this past after last season to now you're going to be calling games up in the broadcast booth with the microphone on?
Yeah, I mean, I took a number of steps into this media field while I was actually playing. I participated in the NFL, you know, broadcast boot camp, which, you know, is a very condensed look into, you know, different areas of media, you know, from in-studio analysts to color commentary, you know, calling games on radio. And so it was very intriguing for me. And then, you know, after that, I had a number of appearances on different networks. But everything, honestly, was all in studio that I was preparing for when I did elect to walk away from the game. And so now, you know, an opportunity presented itself to be able to audition with ESPN. And they said, hey, you know, we want to interview for calling games. And, you know, I had no idea about what it actually entailed, like, to actually call a game. But what I did realize was when I did boot camp, it was one of the closest things to actually playing the game, I would say. Like, outside of being a coach, that really presented itself as a way to put myself into the mind of a player again. And I really enjoyed that. I've always been a huge study, a film study guru, and all those things have really allowed me to thrive in the game. So calling games, again, didn't really see in my future, But here I am. I'm looking forward to storytelling. I'm looking forward to teaching the game, so that again, people can see, the sport that I love the way that I do, and more importantly, covering, this next generation of talent.
Walk me through what is, because I don't think it, many people see behind the curtains. What is an audition like?
An audition, it's pretty much a, simulated version of, what you're going to get in real form. So, we actually went through a game that actually was called last year, but again, no sound is on the tape. And then you pretty much, you're walking through the game, calling it as if, you're seeing it for the first time, what is happening for the first time. You're seeing it for the first time, but it actually is happening. And yeah, and for me, it was the first half of that game. And then after that, series of interviews with staff, and I was on my way.
What I guess ahead of this, how are you kind of preparing for your first season? Is it, you talked about, it's so similar to kind of the most similar thing to being a player because you get to do some of that film study and stuff like that. How are you prepping for this year?
The way that I'm prepping is familiarizing myself with, all teams within the ACC, and first and foremost, that starts with film study for me. I've been able to attend ACC Media Day, which gave me insight into a lot of these teams, some early storylines, players that again may have already been on the team, that they're really weighing heavily on this year at leading the team and being a top performer, or even some transfers that have now stepped in and will be wearing those threads. As we know, like the turnover rate in college is just so rapid nowadays, with the transfer portal and everything else. So it's important to familiarize yourself in that regard. So that's really what I'm doing. And then I would say thirdly is learning from others that have already, stepped in to the shoes that I'm walking in. Just listening to games, seeing, how are they calling it in certain situations. Are they looking at the play that just happened, or are they, forward thinking into what can potentially happen the next play, or even down the line, are they really geared in on like just a situation of what is happening? So there's a lot, but those are probably my three areas that I'm really targeting right now to help me prepare for my first game in August 23rd.
You've talked to, or you said you talked about the NFL boot camp and everything. Have you talked to anyone that's kind of been in it, get some advice from maybe some former guys that have made that transition?
So I've come across a number of guys. Two most recently, Will Blackman. He's called a series of games himself, and we'll be doing some, I think, for CW this year. So we connected out at ACC Media Day. Didn't even know he would be in the building, but worked in my favor. So leaned on him. Chase Daniels, a recent individual that I saw on ESPN webinar, and he's a new hire, I think, because of what happened over at Fox. And so he gave me a little backstory on, his journey so far. He caught some UFL games, and now he's transitioning over to college. So again, another person I can consult with, to be able to just really give me, the real, a lot of what I don't know that takes place behind the scenes, in order to prepare myself for the first game, and then of course throughout this season. And like anything else, you really have to go through it. You can take nuggets from people, but you have to make it your own. You have to, find out what breeds success for you, in that position. So it'll be some trial and error. I know I'll struggle as rookie, it's rookie season all over again. And I'm looking for my OG veterans to give me some game, tied in with what I know, what I bring to the table, and then just blend the two together.
Do you like the travel aspect? Because I think it's a little different than when you're traveling, to play. Now you get to, you don't have to get into town maybe as early. You can spend some more time during the week with the family. You mentioned your daughter. Is that travel aspect appealing to you too?
Yeah, the travel aspect is completely different than what it is as a player. It's similar, but it's not at the same time. My wife and I joked about this recently, how let's say I get a game in Miami, and it makes sense to do maybe a family trip there, because who doesn't love Miami? Especially when you live in Philadelphia in some of the colder months, and we can make a little weekend extended stay out of it. But the joke came with, it's not like you have security on your floor where I can't stay in your room at the hotel like it was as a player. It's a totally different ball game, which again works in my favor. Now as I transition, and I don't know how I got my wife to agree to me being out of the home shortly after I retired on a Friday or Saturday again, because I know she was looking forward to having every weekend available for us to spend time together. But she's my partner for a reason. She gets me, she understands it, and yeah, so going to look forward to all of what is, I guess, given to me now in this new analyst position as I travel, and I get to see some new campuses. I think I'm looking forward to that. Some campuses I've never had the opportunity to either touch or play on. So it's a different feeling for me, coming up.
You said you got some experience while you're in the NFL, but I found a clip in my research that was you as a player. I think it was called Cavalier Sports Weekly. Was that your first foray into media?
I think that was. I think I was that in the stadium?
I think you're on the stadium or practice field or something, yeah.
Yeah, doing a script. Yep. That was like my first introduction to it. We didn't have communications at UVA, so that was something I was interested in doing. When I attended college, but going to Virginia, they didn't have it. But again, tried different ways to, find a way in early entry point. I know that I feel like there's a lot more that they offer now to
Yeah.
students in today's game, which is great for them. Getting them exposure, early on is very helpful.
When did you realize you kind of had this, feeling that this is the way you wanted to go with your post NFL career?
Honestly, I'm not going to say that this was, or like, yeah, this is what I intended to do. Like I said, I've always enjoyed, telling people's story. I think it's very important to give someone else a voice, maybe who hasn't necessarily considered, again, putting out their story into the world for others to hear and see and absorb in a way. And I find it very fascinating. And so again, like, I just started to do little things, and then it started to become real, I would say, when I was maybe on NFL Network for an entire week. And like the feeling that I felt, the feedback that I received, I felt like, okay, like this could be me. But I think as I exit the game, what I'm really trying to discover is just how I want to contribute to the sport, that's given so much to me. That is truly like my walk of discovery right now. And so this first step is, hey, let's get into calling games. I can't say that I'm going to be in that seat 5 years from now, but I'm going to give everything I have to it right then and there, and I'm going to listen to my heart, and just, and follow that, because that's never lied to me. And I know what that feeling feels like when you're in the right place. Like, I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm walking in my purpose. So that's what I'm really, trying to figure out, is what is my contribution to this game? Is it in the booth, calling a college game? Is it, in studio doing something with the pros? Is it coaching? Is it front office? Right now, I don't know. But what I'm going to do is stay present, and go ahead and lock in on this rookie season, of calling games for ESPN and ACC Network.
Well, let's get into the football part of it, because you mentioned going to see some new campuses, some new places that you didn't have a chance to play at. Because, Rodney, I don't know if you realize you last played in college in 2011. A lot has changed
Long
since
time.
then. Here are the teams that were not in the ACC back then: Pittsburgh, Syracuse, Louisville, not to even mention the SMUs, the Cals, the Stanfords of the world. Maryland was in the ACC, which I'm sure you
Yeah.
remember. 17 total teams now. What do you make of this whole new ACC landscape that you're kind of diving into this year?
It's exciting. I would say that, and because you do have a very good group of fresh, faces, and teams that, now has increased the level of competition in the ACC. And that's what you want. You want a high volume of competitiveness to bring out the best in every coach, every player, that suits up. And I think, with the addition to these new teams that you reference, is really created that environment and that culture now. And so I'm really looking forward to just seeing how things unfold. It could, after a while, when you have the same collective groups, it's almost like, okay, it's very predictable, like how things are going to go or how they could end up at the end of the season. Like, we never know, but we got a good idea. And I think now, with the SMUs of the world, the, even, Stanford, I'm looking forward to that, under Frank Wright, that I've had the opportunity to meet at a few stops in the league, Philly and Indy, how he can possibly get that team back to, what Stanford is known for, like their standard of play. Bill Belichick, right? UNC, like this, and then there's so much like NFL, and people that are now stepping into the college world. And so I'm like, again, I am like a little kid right now, at the toy store, because there's so many new things that, again, like, is going to help the game, and it's going to make it, again, like a very great year to call, and to let alone, watch all unfold.
Yeah, as a guy that's just getting out of the NFL, you picked a good time to come to the ACC with the obviously the big headlines of Bill Belichick and everything he's doing down there at UNC. But also, like you mentioned, Frank Reich, Andrew Luck is in college football
Yeah.
now at Stanford. I know he was
Yes.
at ACC Media Days. What
Yeah, I caught up with him.
from your time at ACC Media Days, what stood out to you? What were the headlines that you had your eye on?
For me, it was, I'm not going to even pinpoint one, because to your point, like you said, I haven't played college ball since 2011, and I've been in this NFL world for 13 years, and you kind of have blinders on to a lot of what exists in college, to be honest with you, because I have a job to do myself on Sundays. and I want to do it at a high level. And so, that requires some sacrifice, which means, I can't necessarily, be everywhere or in tune to every single thing that's happening in the sports world. I kind of catch it just in snippets and highlights. And so I would say, like, just from, every team, 1 to 17, listening to every single coach, every player that touched that stage, hearing a little bit more about them, what their expectations are, what are their core values, their philosophy. It kind of gave me a sense of identity to be able to kind of categorize each team by, as I do my homework. This team is really built on this, because guess what? Their coach is an offensive lineman. So I'm probably, as I'm watching film, let me see if I can see that in the way that they call plays. Offensive lineman, they like to run the ball, right? Like, they're not, overly pass happy, but they're gonna, again, pass the ball, but it's gonna be led by the run. It's gonna be physical. It's gonna be rugged. All those sort of things. So that's what I really took away is, what's the identity like for these teams? What are some things that I may not be able to find online about you, but you've expressed to me here at Media Day?
Was there, I guess, a difference for you? We talked about the last time you played in college was 2011, and you kind of had these blinders on in the NFL, and now you kind of come back into the college game. Do you feel like there's just fundamental differences between, the sport when you left it and now that you're coming back into it? Or can you still see some of, all right, it's still this at the heart of it?
At the core of it all, what I love most is that it is purely fun and, and enjoyable. Like, it's rare that you have that many guys on the team that are all pushing towards, one common goal, and you still get a sense of, that kid at the park playing ball again before it transitions over into, a business where there's just so many other variables that you have to consider. And yes, I know the NIL things are shifting a little bit, but I think because it's still so fresh at the core of it all, you have those players that, again, just out there having fun, and they just want a ball. So I love that. I would say the other side is there's a lot that has changed from the fundamental, the schematics, and from a technical standpoint when it comes to the game of college ball. That is what I have quickly identified. You see a lot of similarities of what, we're doing in the NFL that are now transitioning into college ball, whether that's, on the field, it's practice structure, like all those sort of things, are happening now, which didn't necessarily exist as much when I say that I played back in 2011. So those are some of the things that I've, like, identified early on that may be different, but also similar.
I know you probably talked to almost hundreds of people at that ACC Media Days, but were there any conversations that were kind of illuminating, just kind of as you're getting ready to step into this, like maybe some coaches that kind of struck you with something they said?
Off the off top, no, I kind of did a lot of behind the scenes work. There, I was there just to be an ear, as they talked about a number of things. I realized that there are some connections that I didn't even know existed in the league for me. My former coach, Ephraim Banda, who's with the Browns, he's my defensive back coach for the past couple of years. He has a good rapport with Duke head coach. Manny. And so he was giving me a little bit of insight on, just his philosophy, how he's wired, kind of what we can expect to see from a defensive standpoint, which again, I come from the world of Jim Schwartz, and that's who he compared him to in his style of play when it comes to the defensive side of the game. And so as he texted me, I said, okay, like that's helpful. I can use that as I'm, again, watching film and knowing, all right, this is a defense that I played in for a number of years. How do they do it? And I can give a whole different feel towards that area of the game.
You played under Al Groh and Mike London at UVA. So obviously there's a lot of generations that passed since, now Tony Elliott is the head coach of Virginia. Have you gotten to know, I mean, I don't know if you've been around the program, have you gotten to know Coach Elliott at all in just your years?
I met him a number of times now. A few stops that I made at Virginia, meeting with Carla, the AD, and then as well as Coach Elliott. He's a very wholesome man, family oriented, and again, comes from a winning culture and is looking to, install that into the Virginia Cavaliers, where I played. And I know it's been a challenge over the years, he believes now with the help of the portal, being able to, land a good group of guys that fit again, just the mold that they're going for at Virginia under, new regime, under his leadership. And more importantly, what he spoke about is also the depth that came of that, which we know, iron sharpens iron, and depth is forces, true competition and a lot of growth, within each player. So he's excited. I'm looking forward to, again, hopefully I can get a game down there at Scott Stadium to cover them. But I'll be watching, closely regardless, as a fan and an alum, just to see, how they end up this year.
Have you thought about calling a game at Scott Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, of course, that was probably one of the first things that came to my mind once I found out I got the job, was how this could be my first time back in Scott Stadium, is in the booth, which would be strange because I haven't been to a UVA game since I graduated.
Wow.
Every time, yeah, wow is right. Every time I think of going, something pops up, my calendar doesn't align. So we talked about me get going back and being on the sidelines once I was done. And, look at me now, I could actually be, way up high in the booth on the 50-yard line calling the games.
I think whoever's, making the calls at ACC Network and ESPN, you got to make it happen now because
I know. Yeah, they
it's been
got a mark
13
one.
years.
Yeah, they got a mark one for me at minimum.
Yeah, I guess what else? How have you kind of, you talk about being NFL blinders and everything, but how do you try to stay in touch with UVA and just kind of what's happening there at your alma mater? Because I know it's your wife's alma mater too, so I know it's a special place for you guys.
Yeah, for us, I think, we just try to, most importantly, stay in touch with the people that we met along the way at Virginia. There's a number of teammates of mine that, are very good friends to this day that I still keep in contact with, that, I lean on for a number of things in life. And the same goes for my wife. Some of her closest friends to this day were forged on UVA campus. So there's a lot of history there amongst our friends, and then more importantly between the two of us. And so we made some stops. Black alumni were consistent at attending when the opportunity presents itself. And then in other facets, you know, in the sports world, it's really just through the lens of social media, and any articles that, you know, we can pick up, and then staying in touch with people like Carla, you know, Coach Elliott, Jerry Capone, some other people again that I was in the building with at the same time. And so, you know, they make sure that, you know, alum like myself are staying up to date whatever is going on. I would say under Carla's leadership, they've, you know, done a better job at really tapping into alumni, you know, making sure that we are aware of alumni games. We're aware of any sort of alumni connecting events because they really want to like have that culture where guys are coming back often and players are seeing it. And it's empowering, you know, to the younger guys. So I'm going to continue to push forward and with that and you know, try to do my part the best way that I can now, especially with me stepping away from football.
It seems like you've gotten to know Carla Williams a lot, you know, just over the years. What is that relationship like with her? But just like, what do you think she's brought to UVA athletics?
Honestly, I feel like you know, she's just her mentality. And her experience, you can't necessarily put a price on that. It's very invaluable, and she's seen a lot. And to do it, you know, in a field that not women are necessarily a part of is really remarkable. And so she's highly regarded, she's highly respected in this industry, and I think she's also got the buy-in from a lot of alumni like myself because of the things that I mentioned. You know, she's very intentional behind inclusivity, having us involved in the way that she wants to, you know, have us involved. It's not just a one-stop. It's every year, and it's multiple times throughout the year where there are, you know, very large gatherings of alumni that are present, and it's special because, you know, you have generations that are crossing paths. You have you know, people now that being on a business level, connecting on a personal level, and even more so, you know, pouring back into UVA football. So she's done everything that a leader has been required to do and asked to do. In my opinion, to you know, put forth a great team and leaders to go out to lead these young men.
You've mentioned teammates that you've keep in touch with at UVA. You didn't play with Chris Long at UVA, but you play with him several times in the NFL now and in St. Louis and Philadelphia. It's the time, you know. What give me some good Chris Long stories from your time with him throughout the
Yeah,
years, man.
Chris is he's one of those ones. He's a pro's pro. He's a leader, and he has a real good pulse just on like people. And it's not hard for him to connect with, you know, anybody that touches the locker room, which, you know, again, is not you don't find that often. You know, you might find somebody that's good in the locker room, but then on the field, you know, it's not the same, or vice versa. But with Chris, you know, it's a full package, and you know, I'm thankful to have Big Bro. He was one of my older vets in the locker room when I stepped into Chris Long. Just, I mean, stepped into St. Louis. It was a level of comfortability that kind of came over me because this was somebody I knew that has done it for quite some time, somebody I can look up to, and now I can see their day-to-day ways in order to end up exactly, you know, where he's seated right now. But I at the at after it all, he is like a huge prankster. There was many a battles between us as a defensive back group, D line room. We're right next to each other too, in the Rams building. And so, one story I have is, we've been going at it, let's say for majority of the season, there's been like trash talk. We had Courtland Finnegan in our room, who also was one of those guys that, again, just like an animal on the field, but like off the field, just funny, very down to earth. And him and Chris had a real good relationship. So, we were coming back from one game, I think an Arizona trip, somewhere where we had to travel a good distance. We get back late, and all you want to do is just go home. And then so, we, as we're pulling up to the facility, there's a gate, another gated area that stands next door to it, and you see three like man-made garages that are like out there with like names on it, and it's a garage with my defensive back teammate Janoris Jenkins, and then you got my guy Tremaine Johnson. And then you have my car that was also in this garage with McLeod outside of it. So everybody can see it as the buses are pulling up. And again, like I couldn't get my keys until the next morning. So I had to find a way home, get somebody to drop me off, just that level of inconvenience. But again, that is something that Chris, man, like it really unified the locker room in a lot of ways for moments like that. And that is just one horror story of me that I experienced. But again, you joke about it after. It's no hard feelings. It's all love. And that is just Chris, man. He's just spreading a lot of love amongst the locker room, which again made him one of the better leaders to play this sport.
One other thing that you two share is y'all both former winners of the Alan Page Community Award, the NFLPA's highest honor, specifically with, community service and the work that you're doing there. I know that's been important to you throughout your career. You've got the Change Our Future Foundation. I think you just hosted another sneaker ball up there in Philadelphia. Just what has that work meant to you just over the years, kind of getting into that, especially alongside your wife?
It's meant a lot, to be honest. Giving back is very important to not only me, but my wife. We share that passion, especially when it comes to community, but also kids in general. So I've really, focused a lot on how we can make communities better than we found it. Really pouring back into the next generation because they are the ones that can shape the future. And if we want to, see change, it's got to live through them. Come from a community of color where, education is not necessarily something that is rewarded to all at the highest level. And we really identified those areas and how we can kind of help fill that void, recognizing that exposure breeds expansion and you have to introduce kids to possibilities that they don't necessarily come across every single day. And so we really dedicated a lot of our efforts and time and day-to-day work to reshaping this next generation and forming new trends for these young people and discovering opportunities that live way beyond their doorsteps.
Well, Rodney, it's been great. I want to get you out of here on one last one. What's your feelings around the Cavaliers heading into this year? I know it's early. You're still doing the film study, but any good thoughts going into this season?
I feel strongly about the Cavs this year. I think they will be at a point mid to late season to make a good run. To not only we're going to look past getting into a bowl game. That's kind of minimal expectations, but more so being the running and conversation for a potential spot in the ACC championship. You know, that is what they're striving for. And I believe that they'll have a shot, right? All you can do is ask for a chance and put yourself in position. And I think they'll be a part of that conversation. It's just on them to, again, finish strong, push through. And I truly believe that because of what I alluded to earlier, the depth that now exists in that locker room, and then the quarterback at the helm too, who has some experience, and not only being his, I think, 6 year playing, but also he has some time spent with his dad, with Coach Elliott, and so very familiar families, and I think that relationship is going to help foster success, which will transfer over into the rest of the team, and where I see them, again, having a chance down that stretch to compete
All
for a
right,
championship.
I want to get you out of here because if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the beautiful landscape that you got there behind you, Rodney. Enjoy Costa Rica, but congrats on the new gig on the ACC Network. We're looking forward to seeing you this fall, cover some games, and hopefully, if anyone's listening, we get you to Scott Stadium this year.
I appreciate it.
All right, Rodney, thank you so much. That'll do for the Who's On podcast this week. Remember to follow, subscribe on YouTube and on Apple or Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. We'll see you later in the week with more here on the Who's On podcast.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.